Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Okay, so let's start with the communication part of things, because I feel like you had more you wanted to say, but it was like a limited space. So what does effective communication look or sound like to you?
So it's funny because this is like the topic of conversation in my life this month is like effective communication, not just in relationships, but everywhere. Right. Mm-hmm. But in a dating perspective with a potential partner, you want someone who is going to be open to talking about real things, right? Mm-hmm. I hear these people and they're like, you know, keep the first date light. No, I don't want to do that. We're not going to do that. Like, if we're just going to talk about the weather, this is going to be a really short conversation and mm-hmm. I'm checking out. Like, I'm not engaging in a way that matters or is meaningful to me. So it's hard for me to gauge whether I want to go out again, right?
Right.
So for me, effective communication is a give and take. It's not just one person asking the questions, not just one person answering, not just one person talking about themselves the whole time. It's the things that matter, because basically when you're intro to dating, you're checking out to see if this person is someone you're compatible with long term. Mm-hmm. Something that is big for me is between the heart of dating like community and the 824 community, mm-hmm. is that I feel like one is a little bit older than the other. And I think the younger community tends to listen to those things and want to steer towards the weather. And I'm like, don't do it, because then you'll be stuck in a marriage for many, many years with someone you don't like. Mm. I've been there. Trust me, I know. Don't do it. So, you know, that's the main thing. Effective communication is a give and take, and you can't be afraid to talk about hard topics or important topics, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would have to agree with you on that. On the younger side of things, like younger millennials and then Gen Zers just don't talk about stuff. But then older millennials, we don't really do it either. So it's just kind of like, where is this? You know, life isn't easy. You're going to face stuff together and you're going to have to figure out how to communicate about it and, yeah. you know, and be able to share what's going on with you. Because just because like your like relationship might be good doesn't mean you're good.
Right.
You know, and like being able to share that stuff in an effective way so the other partner actually understands and is like able to support you is huge.
I'm a big proponent of therapy. Because I think it, especially as millennials, I'll just go ahead and call myself out. Like, I'm almost 40, right? Like,
yeah,
we were not encouraged to share, especially like our parents were like, don't do drugs. Okay. Thanks. Bye. Don't have sex and don't do drugs and go away. Right. Like that was the parenting style. Then it was like, off you go. Don't like embarrass me in your life. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And so we never did address anything, but now we are starting to learn how. Mm-hmm. And I think through that process, we're learning that it is really important to us for our partners to be self-aware and to have a healthy, if they've never been to therapy, have a healthy respect and understanding mm-hmm. of it. If I want to go, right? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, as long as they're not stuck in this closed-minded place, because sometimes you just don't have the tools and someone else needs to teach you. You need to be open to learning.
Mm-hmm. Amen on that. I'm like, I've personally been in therapy for over a year and it's like,
yes,
you know, yeah. all these things and, you know, nothing against my parents, but it's just like, yeah. Yeah. It's just like, oh my gosh, there's so many things that, you know, I feel like society in general just failed millennials and, you know, we're having to learn it now, like you said, and it, no wonder we're all single.
Yeah. And I mean, even adding in like the layer of those of us who grew up in purity culture, that ruined everything. Okay. Like we had no, like we came out of that and we were like, well, we can't do that because we don't know how. And we're just going to be doing the exact opposite and be riddled with guilt while we do that. because no one taught us anything the correct way. They were just like, here, would you like some guilt? All right, there you go. And like, we release you. So it's definitely a, I feel like we're relearning how to date. We have all these like triggers and, you know, things we're trying to acknowledge and deal with while we're looking for someone who's, you know, remotely put together also. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like the purity culture thing, I'm still like, you know, still unlearning all those things. And it was really funny because I was the type of girl who had a lot of guy friends. And so like when purity culture came in, it was like, wait, I can't what now? Like, I can't
touch. Don't look at him.
Yeah.
Don't look, avert your eyes.
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, okay. You know, and it's just like, it's so weird to me to kind of look back on that and just be like, okay, I honestly didn't know what to do, you know, when that all became a thing. Cause I am a guy's girl. Like, I will sit and talk about sports. I will, you know, I will do all those things that typical, you know, girls don't do. And I blame my grandfather, but it's fine. You know, so it's just like that was my life, and then all of a sudden that got taken away.
Yeah,
right. And I'm like I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. Like I work in construction. I'm always around guys. It's just a different mindset. I get along. I have a really solid, amazing group of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. But I tend to just, I'm just a laid back person, and I tend to get along with guys well, and I've always had guy friends. And so like growing up, it was just such an awkward thing to have these very weird boundaries thrown at you, and then to not really know how you're supposed to handle it if you did like somebody, because purity culture told you to, you know, leave room for Jesus. So how are you supposed to make a real connection with this person if you can't even like hold their hand in the movie theater, right? Like it's mm-hmm. just, it was a lot. It was a lot to give us too. And so then, you know, we were also physically touch deprived by the time we graduated high school and, you know, went to college, that we were like, well, let's just, and it was like no boundaries because no one was telling you what to do. Like it would have helped to have a little more of a measured approach, I think.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. I don't know about you, but like I, because of being a guy's girl and like whatever, I was often called a slut and a hoe and like, you know, insert other derogatory term here.
You had guy friends.
Yeah, because I had guy friends. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay. No, I'm all okay. Sure.
You're imagining a lot more action than I'm getting, but all right, whatever works for you.
Exactly. I'm like, at that point in time, I hadn't even held a guy's hand, you know, like, and so, but I was over here being labeled that, and not just by like fellow students, like by parents.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm just like, how, like when I look at things now and like, look at where I am and look back at it all, I'm just like, thank God that I didn't completely go off the deep end. Cause I totally easily could have, you know, just been like, well, you're calling me already. Like might as well.
Like, and that's, you know, it's something that kind of, I feel like those connotations follow you into adulthood. Even I was with my ex-husband before we got married. We had been together for several years and we had split up, and I found out that I was pregnant. We had been together probably 5 years and we had just split up like 2 months before, and I found out I was pregnant because I wasn't living appropriately at that point in time. I was young. And because of that purity culture that was so ingrained in our parents, I was 26. Okay. I wasn't like 19. I was 26. And both sets of our parents were like, y'all have to get married. God's not going to bless you if you have this child out of wedlock. And so we did, which is a terrible decision, you know, terrible decision, not the best choice we've ever made. And I talked to, I have an accountability partner now for dating. She's an older woman at my church that I love. She's so great. And she was like, here's the thing. She said, you should not get married if you're not ready to get married. Even if you're burning with lust, okay, let's work on that part. First of all, like that was something they said, you know, in the Bible, when times were different and you were betrothed and you know, you did all the things. She said, but here's the thing. She said, is it better to deal with your lustful sins? Is it better to get married to try and tamp that out? Or is it better to try and, like, you know, if you mess up, get back on the horse, mm-hmm. you know, ask Jesus for forgiveness and try to do it right. Like, she was like, this is not, we can't sit here and beat ourselves bloody over situations like that. She was like, there's grace for a reason. It means you don't try to mess up, but when you do, you try again. You know, you don't just go, oh, well, we can't keep our hands off each other, so I guess we should get married. And I still see a lot of that prevalent in some of the younger, more fresh faces who haven't had relationships or who haven't been in, like, some people haven't had relationships, but they still are, you know, on the level, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of these younger people who have not experienced that are really getting some unsavory advice. And I worry about them. Mm-hmm. Don't just go marrying people willy-nilly, okay?
Yeah, I know. That just brings in a whole nother thing of, like, you know, just because divorce is an option, air quoting there, like, it's not really an option. You know, it shouldn't be an escape hatch because, oh, I got married because I couldn't keep it in my pants, like.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we divorced because there was abuse and the backlash that I faced because it wasn't a biblical, quote unquote, reason to get divorced. There was a lot of backlash, and nobody gets married to get divorced. Like, that's not your plan, right? Mm-hmm. But you also have to know when it's appropriate to exit and when it's not. And there's so many people that are like, oh, we're going through a rough patch. We're going to get divorced. Whoa. Is he beating you or cheating on you? Because if not, like, let's like just slow down a little and then like see if this is repairable before we just give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It is a mixed bag. It's like, I don't know. I like culture obviously plays a huge role in that, in those like viewpoints and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I can't even fathom like telling somebody that, you know, you don't have a biblical reason for a divorce, so you shouldn't get divorced. Like, that just,
just a leftover purity. It's just this, it's a legalistic view of mm-hmm. things that, yes, you should intensely pray and seek God before you make such huge decisions like marriage or divorce or any of those things. But to kind of insert yourself into someone's situation and be like, God's going to condemn you for that. Whoa, we're not doing that. We're not doing that here. Okay. Like, there's a way to like share your loving opinion and share the truth and love. But like beyond that, that's between them and God. Right. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are not that person. Like, we can't sit there and judge what they have going on, because even it within like convictions, like we all have different convictions, you know, and it doesn't make sense to me to sit over here and go, oh, well, Susie, you know, doesn't like tattoos, so I'm not going to be friends with her, or, you know, insert thing here, right? Like, it doesn't. Okay. She doesn't like tattoos. Cool.
Prerogatives.
That's her thing. Like, that's fine. I happen to like them myself. So, you know, it's like, okay, but I don't need it to be a, like, it doesn't need to be a division thing.
Yes.
You know,
it's, prerogatives and preferences are different than living a, you know, a sinful lifestyle. And even if, you know, that is the case, and I have gotten to this point, the older I've gotten, okay, I wasn't always of this mindset, but we're called to love, and that's what we're called to do. And our pastor even, you know, says specifically, he's like, we know what the truth is and we live our truth and we love within that truth, but we do not stuff it down people's throats. And we do not make our circle only people who look or live like we do, because what kind of witness is that? Like, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, sorry, friend, I can't hang out with you because, like, you are such a potty mouth, or, you know, you live with your boyfriend. Okay, that is your decision. That's y'all's decision between you guys. And I'm not going to sit here and wonder, you know what I mean? Or try to pass judgment. Or there are preferences now that I will allow my friends to have that I wouldn't allow in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference between who you care for in your friend circle and who you walk beside every day. So
yeah,
there's a little difference.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, with my like girlfriends, we're all so vastly, you know, different and whatnot. And it's like really nice. Obviously, we all have our core like belief, you know, but everything that surrounds that is so different. And it's just like, yes, I love being able to have these different perspectives in my life. So I'm not sitting over here, you know, on a high horse. You know, but yeah, you're right. Like in a guy, there's some definite things there that I'm like, probably not.
Right. We have like our group of BFFs. There's like 8 of us and 7 of us are Christian and 1 of us is not. And we tend to do Bible studies and things on our girls' trips just because it happens naturally. And she'll come and sit and listen. You know, she's not going to be disrespectful or anything, but we also know that that's not her, you know, she doesn't choose to believe that. And yet our politics, her politics and my politics and a couple of others, totally the same. And then we got some more that are like completely opposite. And it just makes for a really dynamic group of people and enjoyable conversations. And, you know, and I don't love her any less because she isn't a Christian, but I also wouldn't. I have lived and learned, and I know that I can't date someone who isn't a Christian. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Fundamentally, it's a core heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't work for a one-on-one relationship like that.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree. You know, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. But I think too, like that gets that verse, like there's a lot in it that we don't realize. You know, because there's different kinds of yoking, right? And so I think just because somebody is a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be yoked with them well, you know, because I feel like your convictions have to be similar, the way you want to raise kids has to be similar, you know, like not necessarily your spiritual gifts have to be similar, but like they kind of have to complement each other. And then your like mission in life, air quoting again, like mission in life has to be at least compatible, you know. Yeah. Otherwise you're kind of screwed. You're going to have a lot of issues.
That's true. Like, and to me too, I think some people take that and they don't think about it in that way. Even they think about it like as in time, baby Christians versus been a Christian for 15, that means nothing. It really doesn't mean anything. I have met so many people who love Jesus so much who are baby Christians. And like, so it's like you said, it's more about do our values align than, you know, how long we've been doing this, right? Or how knowledgeable we are about scripture. That's not the only way to be equally or unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Most people just assume that it's that instead of all the other options. So
the nuanced pieces of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's another maybe training thing. We were not trained to understand like how all of that, you know, like how that works together really. So anyway.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's got a lot of pieces to it.
Mm-hmm. Just like everything, I feel like, you know, there's so many, I don't know, like the not only did purity culture screw us up, culture screwed us up.
Counterculture.
All the things. you know, like, well, but then even the caveats within just like regular culture, like the feminist movement and like, you know, on the other side, all this other stuff. And it's just like, no wonder like we as a Christian society can't figure it out when we allow too many other outside influences and we, you know, we start acting more like the world and instead of not of it.
Christ followers. And like, honestly, the word Christian is becoming such a negative connotation. I'm like, I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Like, do we even have to talk about denominations? And you know what I mean? Like, do we have to make it so like, it just gets so sticky when you have to compare all that stuff. And that's another part of dating that's hard, you know, is comparing all the pieces, the little individual, what do you believe? And what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? And what do you, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
It is. Like, you bring up a great point. I had that conversation with my mom like a couple years back. I'm like, okay, do denominations really matter? You know, in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
And she was like, well, I mean, you know, there's some differences there, like theologically. So it just kind of depends on like what you're, you know, looking for. And I'm all somebody who loves Christ and follows Christ. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's like to a degree, it doesn't matter to me until you get to there are some more legalistic denominations, you know, that are very particular about women's roles. And those I'm not probably going to date someone in those denominations. Other than that, I dated a Catholic guy a couple of years ago, and that was the first for me. And we had a lot of conversations around theology, because there's a constant battle. I don't know if you've seen in our community, it's about people, you know, oh, Catholics aren't Christians. And then Catholic people are really, you know, offended. And they're like, actually, we are. And what I learned is like, there are different denominations, different types of Catholics. And the guy that I dated was a Christian by all accounts that I could see. You know, he loved Jesus. He believed he died. He believed he rose again. He believed, you know, that he came for the reasons to, you know, save us. And he didn't pray to Mary. He didn't confess in confession booths. He prayed to God. So I was like, well, we're okay so far. Like, I don't see any like glaring red flag. So it was, I think you just have to take the time to get to know what they really believe as an individual. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, you know, is this relationship out of guilt and fear, or is it because you want a personal relationship? You know, and we had to go through that.
Yeah. My uncle married my aunt, and she grew up Catholic. And so he, quote, converted. but we had a conversation a few years back about all of that. And they believe the same things that we do. They just attend mass.
Yeah. It's a different way of worship. Different day, yes. Different order of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was just kind of interesting. I'd always wondered, like, how and why, you know, that was weird, like, in my young brain, right? Like, that was weird. And the older I got, the more I was like, okay, maybe this isn't, you know, it doesn't need to be a thing, I guess. And so then we had that conversation. They were like, oh yeah, like, you know, this is what we believe. This is what we do at church. And like, you know, whatever. It's not so much the rituals of like what we would assume traditional Catholic mass is, right. It is. 'Cause I have been to those, you know, and so then I was like, oh, okay, got it. And so, you know, again, I feel like there's a caveat in there. And like, yeah, you said we need to take the time to actually figure out what somebody believes. And yes, yeah. I definitely would not date certain denominations.
Right. some are more welcoming than others. We'll just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some, I don't know if it's just, maybe it's like a spiritual, like different spiritual gift sets or whatever. But there are some denominations where I'm like, huh? Like, I just don't understand like either the faith level or like, what's the words I'm looking for? Or like a lot of people would like, they'll say the words like spirit connected and like that kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of like,
it's very vague for me. I need you to be more, need you all to be more specific than spiritually connected.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, to what?
You know? Yeah.
But
are we talking about the Holy Spirit?
Are we talking like Holy Spirit centered? Like, I've heard that phrase too, you know, and I'm like, okay, I kind of get a little bit more about what that means. But again, you know, when you start throwing certain phrases around, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I was raised like, we went from Baptist to Pentecostal, like strong Pentecostal. So now like I call the church I go to is Assembly of God. And I call it Pentecostal light, because it's like we raise our hands and we clap, and every once in a while there's some outbreak of tongues here and there, you know, but nobody's like freaking out in the aisle or anything. So it's like, it's Pentecostal light.
Yeah.
Fine. Like this. We can hang with this. We're not scaring the newbies. So.
Oh my gosh. For the first time I experienced somebody speaking in tongues, and I was like, what is happening right now?
I'm having a seizure.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. You know, and maybe that's because I didn't grow up with it. Like, that wasn't, you know, around in my church and stuff. And so I just was kind of like, okay, it's not that I don't believe that that's, you know, accurate and like that it can work and all that stuff. It's just like, I had never experienced it.
Yeah. It's a little intimidating, honestly. If you've never been around it.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, you come with your bad self over there. I'm going to be over here.
My socially awkward self is going to be staring at the floor until you're finished. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, okay, so what's going on now? Oh, man. Yeah, you know, again, different denominations, but is it really, I don't know. I think we get too caught up on secondary issues instead of like what's actually like a salvation issue.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so because you have a slightly different opinion on the long distance relationship question, if you don't mind going into that a little bit more, I can repeat the question if you need to.
Yeah, refresh my, I know I kind of remember, but refresh my memory.
Okay, so if a man has generally become interested in you long distance, would you explore that? What if you haven't been or aren't open to long distance? Would you rather him be honest and tell you of his interest or keep that to himself?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I don't want to know. Because here's my thing, as I see a ton, like a lot of these groups that we're in are geared towards that because everybody lives all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. And while the idea is so sweet, that's the sweetest, okay? But realistically, how is that really gonna work? Especially for, I get it if you're single and you have not built your career up where you're at and you are just like, I can go anywhere. Cool. That is awesome for you. However, even in that case, there's so much more building that you have to do. You both have to be super effective communicators. You both have to be super intentional with your time with each other. I personally do not make a connection with someone until I meet them in person, in real life, where I can poke their finger and make sure they're a real person and like look into their face and see what's behind their eyes. I can't do it. I don't understand it. It would drive me insane. I don't understand a long-term relationship long distance because it's a pen pal. I don't know. Like there's what are you building? Like how you can't go to the grocery store or go out on a date or hold hands in the car or, you know, I just feel like you build something up. And then when you get together, it's not what you've created it to be. I feel like it's a false, not every time, but I feel like it's a false narrative because you're only seeing these little pieces, these little glimpses of this person they want to show you over FaceTime or text message or whatever. Like you're not in their life on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's really hard to get a real bead on someone learning them that way. And then if you put all this effort and investment into this person, who's moving? Like, who's going to do, like, really, I can't. Like, I just physically, with my situation with my son, like, I can't. And if I could, I wouldn't want to. Not for a person. Like, I just, to me, that's just crazy. But, like, I just think it would be really, really so much more difficult to forge a real connection with someone, to really know them. Mm-hmm. And I know people do it, but I just would rather not know, because then I'd be like really upset about it. And I'd be like, dang, if I like that person, like, that's just too bad. Mm-hmm. We had some people come. We had a little hot Charlotte get together a couple months ago. And one of the guys was like, you know, he's great. Like we were chatting and we went out that night and we were talking about this exact thing. And he was like, I'm seeing this girl. Like, she's really nice. Like, I like her a lot. He was like, but she's really far away. And we had this conversation that I'm having with you. And at the end of it, he was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna call this one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, that was not my intention to make you rethink here. And he was like, no, but you're right. He was like, this particular situation, like she wasn't a big traveler. I don't think she drove. Like it would have continued to be long distance. And he has kids. And he was like, I just don't, where would it go? And I was like,
I don't know.
That was the point. But I was just saying it in general. I didn't mean to like cut your whole thing off. I'm really sorry. But you know, realistically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also one reason why moms get cut out of a lot of potential relationships, you know, is because the guys know like it would be them making the sacrifices, which a lot of guys don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Plus, single moms are a lot more independent and they have to actually make us want to hand the reins over, which is also difficult. So we don't want to be masculine. We would like to hand those reins over, but getting there takes some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't want to just hand it over to just anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ask about, guys ask about, they're always like, you know, oh, you seem so independent. And we're like, we don't want to be, this is not a choice. Do you think I want to be under my car in a dress trying to figure out why the mud flap is hanging down, zip tying it? I do not. That's not a thing I would like to continue to do for myself. Thank you for asking. Would you like to come and take that role? Then you have to show me you can make great choices, right? Mm-hmm. Then I will be like, here you go.
Yeah, here, you can take this off my plate. Thank you very much.
I mean, we're always waiting for that person to step up and show like they're capable of handling that. And I think, you know, just being a single parent, I know that that perspective is different, but it's a lot harder even for us, I feel like, to find compatible people. Because at this age and this time, like, we've all kind of been there, done that. And it's hard to find somebody who wants to do it again, right? Like, who wants to try for that again. Like, we have a lot of people in our age group that are like, yeah, I'm done. I'm just going to casually date until I die. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, a little different. Yeah, you make some very valid points. So somebody not in that position, I don't really have anything else to add to it. So, but yeah, like I've often tell people I'm way open to long distance, only in this sense, because I want to move. Like, I don't want to be here and I don't have to be here. God's keeping me here for right now, but like, I don't have to stay here forever and I can take my job wherever I go. So it's not like I don't have those other things holding me here.
And that's a great position to be in. Like, it really does give you flexibility, not only in your, you know, just kind of where you want to go, but also in what God wants you to do. You're more, you know, open to, like, if God were like, hey, guess what? I want you to be a missionary in Africa. I'd be like, that's funny, God. What are you talking about? Like, check back with me in 5 years when my kid's 18. Thanks. You know, like, yeah. But you're able to kind of, you know, you got a little more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Now, if only I could find a guy willing to join into the flexibility.
I'm telling you, like, it is. I just started seeing someone about a month ago.
Mm.
And it's so new. Right. And my caution, my red flag alerter.
Mm-hmm.
is on, you know, I'm just looking right now, but it's like, so far, all these things are really positive, you know, things that we've talked about, like where you do have to compromise and you're equally yoked and all of those things. Like, it is, I'll tell you, when you do, if and when these men work out, it is just as scary as the thought of being by yourself. Like, probably 5 times this month, I've been like, I think I want to throw my phone in a lake and just not do this because this is terrifying. So, you know, I was like, I didn't ask for this. And my girlfriend was like, you actually did. You literally said, God, please bring me a husband. And I was like, I didn't mean, like, I meant that, but like, I wasn't really prepared for it to like actually, you know, manifest. He didn't, you know, I don't know. It's scary.
Mm.
So, you know, back and forth. Sometimes I like being single. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I could be dating, you know,
yeah.
I could date one person.
Yep. I personally am just tired.
It's exhausting.
It is so exhausting.
It's exhausting to be by yourself. It's exhausting to date, to meet new people. It's exhausting. All of it is exhausting. I would like to just nap instead.
Same thing.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's hard. It is not easy. I haven't found a dating app that was worth its salt. I haven't. It's so difficult. And I think that just sometimes I wonder, I find myself asking, like, who raised you?
Yes.
Like, hurt people hurt people. And I feel like all of you are so hurt. Like, who did this to you? Why are you this way? And I don't know what the solution to that is. I mean, obviously Jesus, but like, what is this? How?
Mm-hmm.
The pool is like, it has like 6 drops in it. And there's like a million of us women out here going, what happened? Yeah. And I am not jaded and I like men. I enjoy men in general, but like the dating scene is just trash. And I don't, why is it like that?
I know. And I feel the same way. And I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, but it's still like, it's not any better down here.
No, there is no age group that it is like it. I feel like when it comes to dating, like there's such solidarity between every decade It's not different. There's nothing. They're all bad. I've dated a 28-year-old. I've dated a 50-year-old. Both equally immature, but both equally, you know, struggling in their own ways, right? Like, I just don't, I don't know. I think that it all honestly goes back to the communication. It all goes back to that. Like, just, they just never learned how.
Mm-hmm.
And their attachment styles, I think it's a huge deal too.
Ooh yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that, a lot of insecure attachment styles. I had one guy who was the older one. He turned 50 while we were dating. And after like a month, he was like, "Do you have a lawnmower?" And I was like, "I have a guy that mows my lawn." And he was like, "Oh, I was going to mow your..." I don't want you to have been here a month. Please do not. I do not want you to come mow my lawn. That's weird. Like, please don't offer things like that. And then like a month or two after that, I had it was Valentine's Day, and I had a girls' trip planned from before I started dating him. And I honored that trip with two of my single friends. And we went to the mountains. And before we went, he came the night before and dropped off a gift for me. Mm-hmm. For Valentine's Day, which I thought was sweet, but like, it was, gift giving is the bottom of my love languages. Like, I do not, they kind of make me feel weird, right? Like, I would much rather you like bring me a cup of coffee. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was like a bunch of little home decor gifts. And then there were three envelopes. One said Friday, one said Saturday, and one said Sunday. And I was so icked out. Honestly, it gave me a panic attack. And he was like, "Open these, you know, blah, blah, blah." And like, they just got increasingly mushy, which is like not my thing at all. Mm-hmm. And it was just very, it was like a lot. It was a lot. He was a lot. And I think he just, after I tried to be very gracious, you know, and he said feelings words, and I was like, "I like you too, buddy." And after another month or two, he was like, you're not giving me enough attention, and you're not giving me enough affection, and you're not like, just, you're not, I don't know. There's just a laundry list of like ways in which I was not reciprocating his very intense emotional needs. Like, he was like, "We don't spend enough time together." And I was like, "I literally see you like 2 to 3 times a week, and our kids have not met." Like, that's a lot. And I just realized like our attachment styles are not the same. I am a pretty secure person, and I just don't need that level of intensity. Mm-hmm. And I think he just was still healing from a lot of things he didn't know how to talk about. And he was just very needy and clingy. And instead of kind of trying to acknowledge those things and work through them, he was just basically like, "This is all your fault." And I was like, "Okay, sorry, it didn't work out." Like,
yeah. Attachment styles is like it's a whole thing. And I mean, because I used to be an anxious avoidant, but now I'm like kind of more, I would say I'm more secure, but I still have like maybe it's like anxious secure. You know,
I'll take that one too. We can take that one.
Yeah, like I can be an anxious secure person, but it's taken a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's continuous work. Like, we are still growing, we are still healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So having to remind myself, like, when certain thought patterns come up, be like, no, not today. You know, like, we're not going there. And yeah. And I think that goes back to communication too. Like, if you're dealing with somebody who like has some kind of anxious attachment, whatever it is, like, if you communicate well, you can kind of like alleviate that anxiousness.
Yeah, you can navigate it. You can, you know, you can say, "Hey, I'm feeling some kind of way about this situation that happened. Like, here's where I might need reassurance, at least for the first couple of months," or whatever. Like, say what you need, but it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to communicate.
That, or they just don't want to. They like, sometimes I've experienced like people just taking the easy way out, like, you know, or they're living avoidant, and they're like, "I can't do confrontation."
yeah
you know,
and I get that. Like, I am, confrontation is hard for me because of my history, and I used to just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've done a lot of work on that, and I can usually say what I'm feeling, but it's like you said, those thought patterns come up. Like, this man, bless him, is a great communicator, and he will apologize if it takes him a while to get back to me. He's at work, and I'm like, "I don't have to apologize. Like, I know what you're doing. Like, you're not, mm-hmm. I'm not worried that you're," but then like today, even though I knew what he was doing and where he was driving and it was a busy day, like it was several hours between our conversations. And like my girl brain was like, he hates you now. Like he hates you. He's never going to talk to you again. Like, I'm not sure if you were, you know, knew this, but like, it's been several hours and now you're doomed. And I was like, I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Like, calm it down. Everyone is busy. And then you give yourself like, wait till six. And you know, if he hasn't texted at six, make sure he's not in a ditch. It's fine. 4:30 rolls around and he's like, like paragraphs of conversation and a, you know, and a snap after the text, you know, just it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. And sometimes we have to fight those bad habits so that we can build new, healthier ones.
Yep.
But it takes some people.
It does. And you have to be willing to work through it instead of just saying, well, I don't want to.
This is hard. I have feelings. Those thoughts.
Why do I have to tell you my feelings? Because they're important. That's why. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.